Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Orman, Old School Crew coming at you live in effect. We are brought to you by the Mercado Certified Piedmont Tea, Special Ingredients at Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Hill, 85th and Andromat, and 168th and Maple. We are here at 1040 O Street, 11 O Street, pretty much. A little bit of Husker news, and we'll get to some of the texts. Isaiah McMorris, he was a three-star, a high three-star, essentially, coming out of high school, has picked Missouri State. Is that it, right? Yeah, Missouri yep. State. Just committed today, so congratulations to him. You know, for him, I think when you look at it, he's a four-time state champion on some really, really good teams where he started and then also, you know, played roles at Bellevue West and Millard North, or Millard North first and then Bellevue West. So he played with the likes of Hunter Salas and all that, and he was the first or second guy off the bench with 10 Division I guys playing on the court. So that lets you know he's a competitor. Got banged up a little bit and wants to find a place where I think he wants to increase his workload, which is great. He's got 4 years, I'm assuming, to play, and I think he'll do well. And then on the flip side here, we bring in Elijah Pritchard, you know, as far as yesterday, which became official, which is a big dude. 6'6", 330, does not have a lot of fat on him. So you're getting a dude that has been productive, starting, and brings a little attitude. So he like it's a four-star transfer recruit, former five-star recruit. And then Marquise Groves Killebrew, cornerback from Arizona Wildcats, comes in, which, you know, I don't even know if corner was like a big, you know, need, but I think I think in the Big Ten, the way it is now, when you're trying to develop a defense where you're able to try to be multiple and then obviously get the most out of the guys that you have on your present roster, bring in guys. Cover corners, as we've seen with Sierra Wright, are what's needed, because you got to be able to lock up and play man-to-man. And no matter if you're playing RPO offense or a regular kind of spread offense, you got to have guys that can compete for those 50-50 balls.
And I think last year's experience plays into maybe Nebraska getting another defensive back or two over the top of what we would have guessed, because 2 years ago, they were pretty settled. Quentin Newsome, Tommy Hill, felt pretty good about that. Felt good about Tommy Hill coming into the year. Blythe Hill gets hurt in the spring game. Then you're bouncing back and forth between Marquise Buford making the switch from safety. Malcolm Hartzog played. And then Sierra Wright kind of developed out of nowhere. Then Tommy Hill goes down with a plantar fascia injury. You're throwing guys into that position just trying to see what you have. So I think maybe some of Nebraska's insistence on adding defensive backs in the transfer portal is that it is a position that gets banged up enough. It's a volatile position. And they saw it this last year.
Yeah, and I think you got the best version of Hartzog at kind of a safety, kind of do it all, right? He can blitz off the corners, tough kid, smart, great leader and all that stuff. And, you know, he had four interceptions kind of playing that safety position, kind of opposite of Gifford. And then same with Buford, you know, he's actually probably a little bit more of a field safety. So then you can get some, you know, more tread out of him. So you're bringing in some pure corners. And I'm reading right here, you got Jameer Khan as well. And so you got some young guys. So it's going to be a ton of competition, obviously, with the new defensive back coach, potentially. And then obviously, John Butler going to defensive coordinator as well. There will be some sort of not schematic change, but idea change of how you want to handle your corners. I mean, when a new coordinator takes over, it could be the same defense, but you want to play different coverages a different way, potentially. And that means you're going to have a different body type at corners as well.
Well, but I mean, it's also the hit the ground running question. I mean, Tony White was here 2 years. The majority of players played under Tony White and that staff. This is a different staff, different verbiage, different critical moment decision making. And I think that's a big part of this too, right? That, listen, we don't know what the critical moment play calling is going to look like. How do you get yourself out of a tough situation? What do you do in third and fourth and short? How do you like to rotate your defensive backs? What do you do with your bigs up front? All of those things change. Like literally everything we know about Nebraska's defense changes.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah. And you can have the same players. Forget the portal. Just say you had 15 guys that were on the team last year and then the same 15 this year, but Jay Foreman's the coordinator, it's going to be different because the way I view like third and four is different than before. You know, I think with Coach Butler and then obviously Phil Snow both having, obviously Phil Snow's been coaching in college forever and then in the pros and then Butler playing in the pros. I think the team effort of that will help and be a little bit potentially more innovative. Maybe that's why you're looking at more kind of cover corners, you know, to be more strategic and innovative on your third down package. I think Coach Rule said something about it. But ultimately, you know, how you play up front and your philosophy, you know, is going to change some. But then it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And right now, every year, it seems like you'll have some holdovers, but then it'll be how well can you bring in, you know, this year might be a little bit more, but like say it's an average of like four guys on defense and throw them in there and then continue to move forward.
What is your philosophy on, for especially for defensive coordinators? It's different that this coordinator, we don't know what his approach on first down is. Is he aggressive? Is he proactive to keep them out of second and short situations? Is he a risk taker on first down, or does he play conservative and trying to hold them in space? Second and short, second and long. What's your philosophy? Are you, hey, listen, I'm going to bring extra heat off the corner. Do I like my pressure coming from up the middle? Because some defensive coordinators would rather pressure in the eyes of the quarterback rather than on the perimeter. Yeah. And then finally, what do you want to do? What will your ideal defense look like on the back end, no matter what the down and distance is? Right?
I think the experience, more in particular from Butler, and this has nothing to do with philosophy of having to coach in the pros and deal with you might have your six top guys on Monday and then you play two games and you down from six to three. And then here comes three new guys, probably two from the practice squad, one guy that was released and you bring him in. I think he has the ability to coach and develop on the fly. So I think that'll lend some, you know, a little bit of ease doing that in the season. But I also think from his experience in the pros and obviously with Phil Snow is that it can be more game to game, you know, because how you defend, let's say, okay, we're going to get into Penn State. How you defend Penn State versus, say, Illinois is a lot different based on is Aller your quarterback or Illinois' quarterback's back? Because Illinois' quarterback probably gives you a little bit more of, I guess, I'll call it emergency run threat. Now, because he will pull it down quicker.
Yep.
Whereas Aller will pull it down to throw. Then he'll run at the last resort. And also, there'd be more designed runs with Illinois versus Penn State.
Well, it's what do you want to do, again, with the middle pressure? If I'm against Notre Dame, middle pressure makes sense.
Oh, you're talking about the game tonight.
Right.
Okay, if I'm the game tonight, if I'm Notre Dame, well, first of all, it's everything's predicated on Abdul Carter. Because if he's there, he's your ultimate eraser.
And do you have a guy, right? So
now it's kind of catch 22 because if you look at Penn State's defense against Boise, they were hot at the beginning of the game. But once Boise kind of settled in and kind of figured out, okay, we can kind of play with these dudes, you start to see Ashton Genty get busy a little bit. But then also you start to see some breakdowns. So the things that you got away with in the first half, meaning two guys in the same gap, well, Boise State was out there seeing three and they didn't hit it. You know, they say when you get your bell rung and there's three, hit the guy in the middle. They weren't hitting anybody. So if Notre Dame is able to take advantage of that, then that eliminates anything that Penn State tries to do up the middle. And Penn State's going to have to win first down. They're going to have to, if they do not win first down on offense and defense, this game is over.
Well, that's why I looked at it because I think these two games today and tomorrow will kind of let Nebraska fans look and see what is Big Ten football. We know that Big Ten reacts to success.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be adjusting to Oregon. But no, the Big Ten is going to spend its time reacting to Ohio State and Penn State because they're giving you the extra tape. if you're a defensive coordinator for Nebraska, when you look at this, what are you looking for? And does it fit? Do you have the personnel to compete with this caliber of Big Ten good football play?
Yeah. I mean,
that, Austin, you made the face, but that's kind of my point is I would love to be a fly on the wall at whatever coach watch the Huskers defense and offensive sides are going to go through. Because, Jay, you could probably – being in those rooms, they see what they see, and then that tells them, well, wait, we don't have anybody that can do that.
Yeah.
Or we don't have – here's a scheme that we have that would work.
Right.
And then here's something that we might need to circle back to and fix.
Well, it's kind of – well, it's two different types of teams, though. So you got the two teams that are probably more the most explosive, Ohio State and Texas, looking at each other. Athlete to athlete, that you'd be sitting up there thinking like, no, because Texas, they're both athlete to athlete. If not the best in the nation. You got to look schematic wise up front. What can you do to have success? Nebraska has a recent game, which is just 2 months ago, where they were able to win on the line of scrimmage and probably left maybe the most meat on the bone from a physicality standpoint of winning and enough stalemates that they left yards out there offensively as far as in the run game, left yards out there offensively as far as hitting some open guys, and defensively being able to maybe be a gap, maybe not as gap strong in the second half to really put the pressure on them for Ohio State not be able to hit a couple of those big passes. So you can sit there and that's one where you can say, okay, this is what we need to replicate. But then you got to look at like Notre Dame and Penn State, two teams that are kind of more of the lineup, special teams, defense, physical, try to hit you over the top. Now you got to look, for me, I would look at more schematics. Okay, what do they do schematic-wise that has been successful and transferable through Manny Diaz and Tom Allen? Because it's the same players. And Penn State, I don't think, did a lot transfer portal defensively. And they've been pretty good. So you got to look at, okay, what do they do that's been like a foundation between those two really good coordinators? And then look at Notre Dame and what they do, and then see if you have the guys to replicate that in your playbook. I wouldn't go copy for copy because they own it and that's who they are. But I think if you can watch these tapes and find things that they do well and not try to add it to you in your own way, then you're doing yourself a disservice. You know, you're making your job a little bit harder. And I think, you know, building depth and building identity is going to be huge. And I think the biggest thing that you could do is develop a certain type of attitude across the line of scrimmage from whenever they start, whenever they come back to here, to Nebraska, and start working out or whatever. All the stupid stuff is over. Whether you want to go to the portal, all that stuff needs, like, it literally probably needs to be the players and sure the coaches. Because I always say this, the coaches lay the blueprint. Okay. This is the new blueprint. And then everybody under that's not a like first in line coach. So like your, I guess, assistant linebacker coach, I'm sure they maybe work with the players more. I don't really know all the rules. Those guys on down, you just shut the door. This is how this is going. And everybody's the same. And then this is where we're going forward. And this is not recognizing that you have Dylan's the starting quarterback. And we're not sitting up here saying that he's not going to start. But the standard has to be the standard.
Well, like, to know what the highest level of Big Ten quarterbacks, what the play is,
right,
is the standard for the entire offseason. And then you have to go position by position, down in distance for circumstance and consequence, and then roster depth to be able to look and go, wait a minute, do we have an answer for the things that were wrong last year? Can we replicate what we did that was successful? And then the things that don't, okay, we went and got Silverback. We think we may have another offensive lineman to kind of raise the boats in that water. But does that make you a better running game or a better passing game? Because the different strengths. You bring in a cornerback that's played in big conference moments. But what was his skill set? What was he really good at that you can use to better the team? So if you said there's a secondary, there's a need for Nebraska secondary. While it's not the brightest and loudest need, we also know that it would have been nice to have another dog in the defensive backfield in the Big Ten against these receivers.
Sure, and it gives you like some flexibility. But I think like before you even get to that, for Nebraska and every team start, like, schematics is out the door right now. Like, you know, that's why I said there's a separation between the coaches. You know, all of them are coaches, but the coaches, they need, like, they set the blueprint. They go work on the blueprint upstairs. You worry about all that stuff. You get in there, you shut the door and say, listen, okay, last year was okay and good. That's fine. That was last year. It's no different as if you were 10-2 and maybe you were a lucky 10-2, not a lucky, but say you exceeded expectations 10-2. That was last year. And a team that people don't like you hearing talk about, the same thing with Colorado. Look, Travis Hunter ain't here to like make a game saving play and cause a guy to fumble. The first round pick or maybe the number one quarterback, Shador, ain't here. Whether you like him, love him, Shiloh's not here. Westmoreland's not here. Jimmy Horn's not here. So that's great, 10-2. But this is the new 2025. And the pressure and the expectations have got to you start it right then. Because I would rather you start it right then at a highest level that they cannot really perceive that you're thinking of. And then as you go over, that will be their new norm. And then when you have to know when you need to taper off, when you get ready to camp, then you're not even losing anything. You're actually operating at a higher standard than you had the year before. So when you think about what DB's talking about, the ability to make plays under pressure, catch the ball and have receivers that are going to catch the one against Iowa or all that type of stuff, that stuff is already kind of like built into what you do in whatever February and the standard that you set. Because once you start doing that, and that's why player 1 to 105, there is no difference. Like nobody, like all the game stuff, that's got to go. It's fun. Let those guys do what they need to do. The most important thing is the work. No more talking, because this is you thought last year was pressure, like for some of those guys. Hey, man.
And you added four teams that like punching people, and Penn State takes a step up. Like that old adage of, well, Penn State's Penn State. No, Penn State's got a chance to be different.
Well, they got pressure too, right, because everybody has every year is pressure packed, because here's why. Penn State leveled up. Now, probably a lot of it was circumstances. SMU, Boise State, but they only can beat who they can play or, you know, told to play. But the perception is higher. So now they're fighting the ugly ghost that they are closer to Ohio State, or at least at that time Michigan, but Ohio State, say Oregon, and you know, whoever else is perceived at that level. Now you have to operate as if you're there, even if you don't have the talent that's there. Even if Drew Aller decides to go to the pros, you can't afford to take a step back. You can't afford to go back to the same as James Franklin, where you look unprepared when you go play Michigan, or you get in a dogfight against, you know, Maryland, and Mike Locksley ends up beating you, or Brett Bielema on a sleepy November brings 10 offensive linemen in there and he runs the ball every single play, or Michigan runs the ball the whole second half. You can't do that anymore. So it's no different. It's just a different, the script is the same. It's just different. It's just different words in it for every team. Now the pressure, I've used to feel pressure is just stress you haven't dealt with.
Don't have an answer for it.
Well, because you ain't dealt with it.
Just don't have an answer for it. It's like,
oh, well, you ain't dealt with it, because it's going to be out there. Because if you have to get better, and you need to, if I needed to get bigger, faster, and stronger, or if I need to get bigger, if I needed to get bigger to play middle linebacker versus outside linebacker, and then I kind of pushed off what I needed to do until April. Well, once we get to September, the pressure isn't on Coach DP. Nope. The pressure
is looking you dead square in the eye.
Right. Because I hadn't dealt with it. Because if I had dealt with it earlier and say like April, then Coach DP and at that time Mike Arthur and Boyd and our nutritionists, we could have dealt with
it. I can hear your uncle say, boy, what are you looking at me for?
Right.
Look, what are you looking down here for?
Right. And everybody has, some teams have more answers, I'm assuming, at this point in time. But those answers can turn to options based on how people live their life from January to, I don't know, what, June? Yeah, I mean, those
things. What do we do here? Well, I wasn't part of what we practiced.
Well, if you keep going back to what you did 2 years ago, how good you were 2 years ago, this is where you hear when you read some of these articles or something. Oh, well, in 2022, he started. I don't care. Because you want to know why I don't care that what he did 2 years ago or in high school? Because the guys you play on Saturday, I guarantee you they don't care.
They do not care.
They've shown you they don't care. And so, you know, if we have that type of attitude, then you potentially, if everybody kind of embodies that, and there's other things that go into it, you could probably make a magical run. And then, you know, you just never know what team would be good and what can change. I'm telling you, if it's a 10 toes down type of mindset, you know, you can change things rather quickly.
When does the portal close?
I don't think
seemingly never anymore.
Yeah,
I don't think the portal ever closes.
So then it'll be a thing where the things you have to get in place pretty quickly. Students are back end of month.
Yeah, I assume so. Yeah,
right. That you can see whether they took care of themselves.
Well, yeah, that's the most important thing. Right?
Did you work?
Yeah,
I mean, did you enjoy yourself?
I mean, real quick before we go to break, if me and you were competing for a position, whether we both started or both played or we both were going for a spot, and you know, you had to work on whatever you had to work on, and say I needed to, you know, say that teams like, okay, I like my Sam linebacker to be, you know, anywhere from 215 to 220 or 210 to 220, and I needed to get into that middle benchmark. Well, the last month is the perfect time to show up and be like, man, that he's, you know what,
Foreman was working
right, and then they can trust you, and then when they trust you, they will play you. And that will, in every year, you're getting that first impression. Because if you show up, look like, you know, I've seen guys, you know, look like man, you know, you
boo boo the fool,
look like a basketball player trying to play outside linebacker. Mm. Everything's documented too.
It only works tight end, not outside linebacker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Not even that anymore. They're looking anymore. For them.
Yeah, they're looking for those small forwards that got in the weight room. But, anyways, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin Ormer. We'll take a quick break. We're going to dive into Marcus Freeman versus my man from Penn State.
Shorty Light.
James Franklin. Has the mind games, will the mind games work against Freeman? It will be able to Freeman be able to put that to the side and coach this game.
Brother Lightskin. Brother Lightskin.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. anyways, Jay Foreman, DP, Austin, we'll be right back.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.